Tonight is the completion and end of the first five books of the Old Testament. They are grouped together and they are called the Pentateuch. A lot of the names of the Old Testament books that we have came actually from the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Even the book that we consider tonight, Deuteronomy, comes from the combination of two Greek words, Deuteros and Nomos, which means the second law, the giving again of the law. This book contains a lot of repetition that we have come across in the book of Exodus. This book of the Pentateuch is the final book of Moses, and it summarizes a lot of the things that God has intended to do, but it brings forth a few other things with greater detail. There are some details that are present in the book of Deuteronomy that are not present in any other books. Just like any one of you who is a Bible scholar who studies the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, will notice that there are some things that John mentioned, they are not mentioned by the others, and then of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. You notice that even though Mark is the shortest Gospel, that it covers the greatest detail in some incidences. Gives a detailed description. This is something of what the book of Deuteronomy is like. It gives a greater detail and sometimes the spirit behind God's command. The why. This book tells us the whys. The other books many times gives you the what to do. But this book tells you why. And in this book lies the answer to the question which many scholars have asked. Why did God allow a nation like the Israelites to destroy all the Canaanite nations? And this book also tells us why God dealt with the people of Israel in the first place. It gives us a lot of behind the scene situations. So this book is like the Gospel of Mark to the Gospels of Jesus in giving details. At the same time, this book is like the Gospel of John in giving the inner life that is present. The book of John gives us the inner life of Jesus. A lot of things that go on behind the scene that the Apostle John noted and took down. In a similar way, the Gospel of John is an expression of the divinity of Jesus. And here in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a lot of inside story. It is in this book that we see Moses telling us about his experience and some of his perceptions, some of his feelings. It's in this book that we have Moses talking to God and God saying, "Don't ever talk to me again." You never have all these behind the scene pictures. And so this book, to give you an understanding as you go into, it gives you the inner life of Moses. It gives you the inner moving of God among His people. The whys. Because some hows are included here, like the other books. Deuteronomy consists of 34 chapters. And we could divide into two major sections. Chapter 1 to 11, talk about the past and all those things that are behind them. And so Moses, in 11 chapters, summarizes 40 years' experience. He traces all those things that have taken place, giving a few inside stories, and he finishes off with chapter 11. Then from chapter 12 onwards, he begins to talk about the future. He recaps some of the commandments that God has given them, and also a few new ones and greater detail to prepare them for the conquest of the land of Canaan. And this book, just as it prepares the Israelites for the conquest of the land of Canaan, has principles behind it that teaches a Christian how to possess their own land of Canaan. Some of the basic principles on which Joshua put to practice. And so, in this book, you could also divide it in a different way. It consists of three major portions of Moses' sermons. You could also divide that way. But we prefer to divide as referring to the historical part and then looking forward. Chapter 1 to chapter 11. So on chapter 1 to chapter 11, besides some details, extra details we are given, like in Deuteronomy chapter 1, there are extra details that are spoken there. In verse 21, he says in verse 20 and 21, Deuteronomy chapter 1, "And I say to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us." Now this book tells us that the sending of the 12 spies was never a part of God's plan. This book tells us what it is like to move into the permissive will of God. See, there are three wills of God. There is the good will, the permissive will, and the perfect will. And that we base on the book of Romans chapter 12. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, number one, what is the good, number two, acceptable, number three, perfect will of God." Now it looks as if there is one thing that he's talking about. But we could divide it into three areas so that we could have some understanding of God's dealing with God's dealing with His people, even today and in the Old Covenant. And so there is what we call the good will. Then the acceptable will. And then the perfect will. The good will refers to the general will of God for all men that He has created. For all men. And believers and unbelievers. He is a good God. And He pours down rain upon the just and on the unjust. So that refers to the good will. And everyone who is born upon and in this planet earth, they have already entered into the good will of God. Because of the goodness of God, they have life. They have all the things of this life around them. And they just have to practice the principles of God in order to harness all that God has placed on this earth. The Bible says God is a good God. And the Bible also tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes from our Father above. That's the good will. Then the second dimension of the will is the permissive will. The permissive will is what I call God's secondary will. And what happens is God has a plan called the perfect will. Whenever His people chose against His perfect will, they do not drop straight away back to the good will, the unbelievers. They drop into the acceptable will. The acceptable will is just, you know, so-so. Just like when the Israelites wanted a king. Then when they wanted a king, they dropped from the perfect will into the permissive will. So the acceptable or permissive will and the perfect will has to do with God's people, God's covenant people. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see here that it was God's perfect will that they go straight into the land of Canaan and launch forth an attack, like Moses told them. But when the people came back and say, "Moses, let us send men out to spy the land first. And after they spy the land, then we will go out and fight. It was not God's suggestion to send the 12 spies. It was their suggestion. Moses himself said that when he heard that in verse 23, the plan pleased me well. In other words, in chapter 1 verse 23, Moses said it sounded good to him, and so he went along with that plan. When they went along with that plan, all the 10 spies except 2 brought back a bad report, and because of the bad report at Kadesh Barnea, when they came back, all the people's heart were discouraged and disheartened. None of them wanted to go anymore. So in these first 11 chapters, we see areas and things that lead God's people or cause God's people to move from the perfect will into the permissive will. What causes God's people to move from the perfect will to the permissive will? 6 things are given. From chapter 1 to chapter 11. We look at the first area here. The sin, we just draw out the 6 points from these 11 chapters. Chapter 1, in verse, let's read from verse 24. And they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And then he tells us how they came back. And in verse 26, nevertheless you would not go up but rebel against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And finally, the Lord, in verse 34, heard the sound of your words and was angry, and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to your fathers. Then in verse 41, then you answered and said, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebel against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain. The first thing that caused permissive will is presumption. What is presumption? Presumption is human reasoning and human addition to God's command. And presumption takes place when we miss the timing, when we miss the timing, and when we miss the motivation. See, we enter the permissive will not necessarily because we have sinned against God. Now let me differentiate what I call a permissive will and something that is not His will. You cannot go out and commit a crime, break the law, do evil, and then say, I'm in the permissive will. You're not in the permissive will. You're not in any will. If you were in any will, it would have been the devil's will. Because God said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. So there are a lot of people who may commit adultery and then they feel repentant and they say, well, you know, I just choose God's permissive will. You didn't choose God's permissive will, you choose the devil's will. We are not talking about something outside of God's law. When you move outside God's law, you're not even in His will. Is it a sin of presumption involves missing God in timing and in motive?